Oh God, it's just Jesus.
Please note that the following program includes adult themes and language. You're listening to the weekly show on Discourse.
Oh yeah, I'm back.
Welcome back to Discourse. I'm Morgan Nickler, big mouth dickhead from the internet.
Welcome, I'm Radio's Ben Gracewood.
Yeah, listen to that. National Radio's Benedict Gracewood. Who else have we got?
Yeah.
I'm the newspaper's Dylan Reeve. I've been in the newspaper once, it's good enough.
Cool, just the once, eh? I'm Metro Magazine's Morgan Nickel. I was in Metro in my pyjamas once, I think, topless. I was very young. I was about 6 or 5 or 4.
Okay, I was going to say.
I guess now I'm television's Morgan Nickel. So we are
four on our plan, Morgan.
No, it's all right.
Recording off
that's all right.
No,
yes, that's all right. This week, instead of using Skype to record, which is nice and private, we are using Google Plus's Google Hangout, and we've Ben's announced it publicly. So we're going to have people probably just randomly dropping in and out the whole time, and possibly griefing the whole thing. Yeah, it could go horribly wrong, but we can kick people out. Oh, and I can remote mute people, so that's good actually. So it doesn't need to be bad. So we've just been joined by a friend of Discourse, Ian Randall. Ian,
how you doing?
How you doing?
Hello.
Of course, he's not going to know anything that's going on because he's really, really thick. No, because he doesn't have the show notes. He hasn't got the Google Doc to run things down. But I'm actually really enjoying Google Hangout.
It's quite nifty, isn't it, really? I like the way it pops up various people as they talk.
Yeah, it's very handy that it's very handy that it pops me and Dylan up, considering we don't have webcams.
Yeah, but I was going to say, why can't I see you, Morgan?
You can't see me because I can't find my webcam.
Oh, fuck.
I do have one, I promise. And it's a good one, but I can't find it. It's not important.
You said I was staring straight at you. Is this better?
Staring deep into my soul.
Terrifying. Also, you got something on your top lip there.
Do I?
Is it a moustache? No. Your camera really does a lot of focus seeking there, Ben. Anyway, let's get back to the show. How is everyone? Is everyone here from Auckland? How is everyone doing after the terror of the great Auckland earthquake of 2011?
I didn't feel a thing.
Oh, I felt it. Oh, it's just insignificant.
I'm disappointed I didn't feel it because, you know, you don't often get to feel an earthquake, and I'm quite, you know, gutted, really.
I was excited. I felt it totally. And I was like, is that an earthquake? And then I went on Twitter and said, is that an earthquake? And a million other people immediately went, was that an earthquake? And I was like, oh, it was an earthquake then.
Yeah, I felt it as well.
When you felt it.
Yeah, I shut up so that Dylan could talk so that I wouldn't overtalk him. And then he shut up.
Yeah, sorry. My computer's doing something weird where it just every now and again just automatically switches mute on. So all of a sudden you guys go all silent and I'm like, what's happened?
Okay, I'm not going to worry about overtalking you then. I felt it. I was walking up the hall and it just seemed, because we are... the penthouse is top floor of a not very tall building, but it's the top floor and it overlooks the Hauraki Gulf. Oh, Jesus Christ. What the hell just happened? Oh, man.
Ian has a problem with his Ian, I think that's Ian's microphone. I think we've all just muted him, unfortunately. Ian.
Oh, bloody hell.
There you go.
Oh, wee. That was horrible. Where was I? Oh, yeah, I was walking up the hall and the penthouse overlooks the Gulf. And so, you know, when the weather comes in, we feel it and we hear it and we see it. And I thought it was just a great big gust of wind, but I very distinctly felt it. And I thought, golly, wow, that was a big wind. And then I was coming into my office and exactly as Dylan saw, I sat down and everyone was like, earthquake, earthquake. And I was like, oh, wow. So it was an earthquake. I've never felt one like that before.
No, I've never felt one at all myself. So, yeah, I was gutted that I didn't feel it. But I always thought that we wouldn't really feel small earthquakes because I know it sounds really weird, but we have a front-loading washing machine.
Yeah.
And on spin, it shakes the buggery out of the house. Like when it first spun, I thought it was an earthquake.
Yeah.
So our house actually moves enough to like jiggle the TV and that sort of stuff. So I'm figuring that if the house moves and the earth's staying still,
yeah,
then if the earth were to move that much, the house just wouldn't move.
Right. Wow. So does that...
good theory.
I wish you'd tweeted that, because then the Herald story, instead of saying it felt like a truck, would have said it felt like a front-loading washing machine. It did feel like a truck. And a big strong gust of wind.
So, Morgan, you were a bit peeved that that people were upset with you saying that it was interesting and exciting.
What I was peeved at was people pretending that Aucklanders were overreacting and acting like we'd suffered some terrible catastrophe. When I never saw a single person pretend it was anything other than a little bit of excitement, because we never normally feel earthquakes. And then we got these.
Auckland.
Yeah, but people were kidding about stuff. But no one, I mean, I made a joke about the Red Cross. I probably shouldn't have. But but then we get Wellingtonians and so on saying, everyone in New Zealand is laughing at you right now, Auckland. And I'm like, what are you talking about? Laughing at us for what? For being amused at our little earthquake? Yeah, it fucked me off, actually. And then one of the first responses we saw from people elsewhere in the country once it became clear that we'd had a tiny earthquake was people talking about how we were very worried about our lattes spilling. And it's like, are you fucking kidding? Auckland is not the coffee nerds now. Wellington is the coffee nerds, if there's even any distinction between any city in New Zealand anymore. Because everywhere you go, everyone's a fucking coffee nerd, everywhere in the country. New Zealand coffee culture is one of our distinguishing features, I think, now.
No. I mean, what is our distinguishing feature anymore? Traffic.
Lying about being clean and green.
The Rugby World Cup.
In time for the Rugby World Cup.
I'm excited about the Rugby World Cup now. I wasn't excited, but now I'm excited.
You've got tickets. I can't believe that. You, a complete non-sports nerd, bought tickets.
I've been to the rugby at least twice in the last year at Eden Park.
You have tickets to a World Cup game?
Yep. I've got tickets to the New Zealand France game, which I think is going to be a big one. It's going to be an exciting.
Wow, you're not the same. You've changed.
I went to the Blues. Who was it? It was the Blues and the Hurricanes.
The Blues and the Reds played
a month or so ago.
Is there a team called the Reds?
Yep.
Great. They should play more
Queensland.
Often.
Yep. Queensland Reds.
And I went to the Blues Waikato game, right at the beginning of the season.
I never go. For some reason, I didn't think you were a boofhead.
I'm not a buffet. The previous.
Boofhead?
Yeah, that's what
it is. Boofhead, yes. That's a correct Oxford pronunciation. Boofhead, yogurt, aluminium.
Fuck, NASA.
Have I corrected you on yogurt yet, Morgan?
Probably.
I meant to put a correction in last week.
Yeah, you said it before.
You need to look at the Oxford dictionary.
Oh, we've got so many corrections to do. Basically, the show is just going to be, I will say one really wrong thing, and then we'll spend the whole rest of the time apologizing. Oh my God, we've got an esteemed guest on the show suddenly.
Hello, John Biggs.
Hi, everyone.
How are you? Hey, good accent. This is America's John Biggs on our live podcast that we're recording right now.
Watch Fancier. Well,
yeah, we are, actually.
Why did you invite me?
Oh, no.
Oh, wow, it's like auto-tune. That's beautiful.
I saw it here. John, Ben Grace, we're just hanging with three people right now.
Yep, I'm in a public hangout.
I figured I'd join you.
Yeah, we're doing experimenting to see what happens if we build a hangout in the middle of a podcast record. How you doing?
Wow, lag.
Tell us who John is,
Ben. I think from Crunch Gear, is it? TechCrunch?
Yeah, TechCrunch and Crunch Gear is John Biggs. This lag is awesome. It's a long way, along a long, wet piece of string from where we are to where you are, I think.
Yeah, we're all in New Zealand.
Well, I'm actually in Europe, too, so that might...
Oh, yeah. So confusing.
Jesus, all right, it's so huge.
You guys do your little Hobbit world there, and,
excellent.
And finish your podcast.
All right.
It was a pleasure. Thank you for inviting me in.
Go and review some more sex toys.
Sex toy reviews. Yeah, we'll have more of those, please.
That was really good.
I'll send you some links.
I think we got an offer for some loaners.
Nasty.
That was really cool. Nasty. So you've got some I guess you've got some cool people in your circles there, Ben.
Apparently.
Because John Biggs is pretty well known, right?
He's a major media figure on the internet, apparently.
Yeah, he's a big guy. Big guy. I mean, if I know him, then he's a big guy, because I don't pay attention to Jack all. I've seen him. I've read a lot of his reviews of watches. He does like really high end. What are they called? Watch fanciers. There's a special horologists or something.
Mm. Mm, absolutely.
Yeah, he's one of them. He's a horologist.
I used to work with one of them.
A horologist.
Yeah.
Ah. Excellent. Well, that was amazingly distracting. Fantastic.
My computer's still doing the weird muting thing. Google tells me nothing.
So that's Sorry. One of the most esteemed people we've ever actually had on the show. So I mean, even though you could hardly hear a word he said, and then everything that you could hear was all Cyloned out, it was still actually really cool. We had John Biggs on Discourse. That's exciting to me.
It's so exciting. We'll have to get a link back from TechCrunch.
I mean, so far, I've got to tell you, I feel like there might be more overtalk, like unintentional overtalk. Like, I will overtalk anyone, even face to face. But I feel like there might be a little bit more overtalk on Google Plus. But the sound quality is pretty good. I can definitely hear you breathing.
It's going well. I'm liking it. Yeah, I am, and I would like it more if you guys had cameras. But that's just my perverted.
Yeah, but you know Morgan's not wearing any clothes.
I am absolutely. I am absolutely wearing clothes. Have you seen my Have you seen my short from 48 Hours this year, in which I proceed to rape my drug and then rape my lead actor? Yeah, that's pretty much what I'm wearing. Only instead of the Big Lebowski T-shirt with Jesus, whatever his surname was, I can't remember. I'm wearing a 48 Hours T-shirt and my rape robe. Yep, I'm dressed as a rapist.
Daring me. So, hey, what else happened this week? Google Plus.
So many things happened. Yes, but Google Plus is one of the biggest in tech circles. Do you want to tell us a little bit about it? Because I've heard you speak about Google Plus on national radio. So, you know, we can just reuse that material.
Does it feel a bit like sloppy seconds?
I don't mind sloppy seconds.
Well, someone was surprised by my take on it and said that most people talk about the circles and the sharing and that sort of stuff. But my angle was simply that it's something that Google has to do. They've been trying to do it for so long with Buzz and Wave and all the rest, because they need to capture social circle data to make their search better. Because without it, they're just forever on the machine learning trail against spam bots and spam link engines.
Yeah.
Until they get the human information, either from buying Twitter or Facebook or creating their own, they can't do it.
Yeah.
So they need to mine us. And that's what Google Plus is there for. It's not there because they're altruistically creating another cool social network. It's there as a mining tool.
Well, it's probably also there as an advertising tool. Facebook makes a whole bunch of money out of advertising on Facebook. Google makes no money out of advertising on Facebook. Google make money out of advertising everywhere else in the world, just about, it seems. So, I mean, it's not necessarily... I mean, of course, they will probably...
They don't need to do it. They should just use what they've got.
Eh?
What? Sorry, I was actually...
No, they want... I think if you can't put your advertising stuff on Facebook, replace Facebook.
Yeah.
Facebook have no interest in sharing the clip of the ticket with Google. Do they?
Yeah, true. There's too much going on in my life. I'm not even listening to you, Morgan.
Yeah, I know. Me too. I'm getting so many texts. I've got. You should see. Let's all take a screen grab of your screen right now, and we'll post those up. Okay. Print screen done.
Of both my monitors, or what?
Yep. Yeah. Well, it'll do both, won't it?
Yeah. There you go. Capture image.
My screen grab is just the one browser window with a few tabs in it.
My screen grab will include all my DMs.
Just checking. You'll have to blur them out with some sort of
magical
tool.
one existed.
We've just had on Google Plus, we've had an additional comment from John Biggs. He is in Warsaw, Poland.
Oh, okay, that explains the lag.
The incredible lag. I mean, you can't actually get further away without... I mean, Spain is the opposite, right? Spain is our antipodes.
Still through the end of Spain.
Yeah, Spain, Lake Taupo is basically covering Madrid.
Right.
on the opposite side of the world. Yeah.
All right. Okay.
Using the wrong tools.
Using the wrong tools. Yeah, using the wrong tools for making a screen grab.
Yeah, no, I've done my, yeah, whatever. Yeah, I'll do it later on. Anyway, are we back on?
We are completely on. We are completely on.
I posted an XKCD comment. I don't know if you saw it today. I think it was today or a couple of days ago.
The Google Plus Facebook one.
The Google Plus Facebook
XKCD. Yeah, we should put that in the show notes. It's great.
Yeah, it sort of helped.
It is from ages ago, though. To be fair, there have been two more XKCDs since then. So, no, it's not from today.
Oh, from recent. I saw it today or yesterday. I don't know.
It's like you're busy like making popular New Zealand television and like raising kids and stuff.
Do you know, without saying the show that I work on, because it's not hard to figure out, but do you know that the Monday before last, so not this one that's just been, but the one before that, more people watch the show that I work on than any other television program in the country, including either news program.
Wow.
Disturbing, but awesome.
I'm sorry, I'm enjoying listening to Ben breathe.
I'm breathing and typing. Right, okay. I'm on. What else has happened this week, Morgan?
Well, we haven't really finished talking about Google Plus, but we can Google move Plus. On. Well, no, I mean, there's some kind of bike
it's
race.
A mining engine for us.
Yep.
I've been trying to use Google Plus. I've been trying to invite people to Google Plus for a while now, and I just can't get the bloody... I can't invite people.
Well, the invites are closed, aren't they?
At all.
No, they're open. Invites are open for all now. So you've got an Android phone, Dylan. Isn't that meant to be the epitome of Google Plusness? I don't even know what it does on mobile.
I haven't installed it on my Android yet. Haven't got around to it.
What's a mobile client like, Morgan?
It's really
Google
good.
Plus interesting.
It's really good. It's really clean. And I hope that the design of all of their apps goes the same way.
Do they actually put some thought into it?
Oh, well, it seems to be, and there have also been updates which have improved it since it was released, even though it was just a couple of days ago. So they are working at, you know, the appropriate speed. But being Google, of course, they'll stop at some point, and they'll just abandon it.
I hear the iOS app coming, so that's good.
How much discredit must they have earned from all their missteps? And how, I mean, you can see they've really pushed Google Plus, though. They've basically redesigned Google with that toolbar at the top.
Yeah.
So that they can force Google Plus into your homepage.
Yeah.
So it's much more than they ever did with Buzz and the others, isn't it?
I really like the new bar.
Yeah,
I like having the Google Plus
new
notifications.
Feel as well of everything.
I like the new calendar. I like the way that all the new stuff looks, but not Gmail, because I am so attached to my email template that I can't bring myself to use the new design.
I haven't got the new Gmail yet.
You can change it. You can switch. Just change your theme to. I can't even remember what it's called. Test new look or something.
Oh, right.
It's available anytime you like.
What's wrong with the current one?
What's wrong with the current one? I've got no problems with the current one. I love the current one. I use Tree, which is blimmin' brilliant. God, I love it so much. It's a little bit goofy, but it's also, when there's bad weather, it reflects it on in your email, like rain in your email. Yeah, you might say, are you 8 years old?
For me, who spends all day in a dark room with no windows and has to walk 20 minutes to get outside.
It's really stark, that new one. It's super stark.
Yeah, I don't really enjoy it compared to Tree. So, Dylan, you use Tree?
No, I don't. I don't yet, but I'll have a look for it. I don't even know how to change my thing.
I like Tree.
I've never even done it.
Tree is so good. Yeah, I don't like the default. And the new one's not bad. It's very clean. It's very bright, but it's nothing compared to Tree. All right.
When I saw the new look Google results, it freaked me out for a moment. I was like, what the shit?
Tidy, isn't it?
I don't know what the shit.
I like it.
Tree or tree? Oh, tree. There it is. All right.
Have they hired some super new designer guy? Because it really is square and stark and web a little. Well, not even web 2. It's hard to describe.
It's sharp. It's very clean. It's very
sharp,
open and fresh.
Yeah, sharp, super sharp.
Yeah.
So they've really they've outdone themselves. I think it's good. Really, isn't it interesting times on the web right now?
Yeah.
That stuff. Mobile, everything's just really cool right now.
There's a lot of cool rich companies battling to make cool stuff for us. I'm happy to let them do it.
It's interesting to me how far behind I've fallen on web stuff now.
Yeah.
I saw some CSS, icons made in CSS 3 today, and I looked at the code. I couldn't understand how it worked.
Yeah.
Wow.
I used to be quite up with that stuff, and now I looked at it and I was like, that's really cool, but I don't know what the hell's going on here.
Yeah, me neither.
Another cool thing is JSPDF. Have you seen that?
No.
JavaScript PDF viewer.
Right.
Pure JavaScript.
Wow.
Bloody interesting. Not perfect, but good enough.
Have you seen the JavaScript x86 emulator?
No.
it's a full x86 processor emulator written in JavaScript.
Wow. Lovely.
Yep. Wow. Or why was my response?
Because it's there.
Yeah, I think that was pretty much the reason.
No one else had done it.
Do you know what else has happened this week that really excites me? I've been waiting for it for months.
Yes. You had a bowel motion.
Well, that and that, as well as the Tour de France. I love it. It's my favorite sporting event of the year, and you can't take that away from me.
I'm not going to try and take it away from you. So tell me why it's so exciting. It's just a cycle race. You don't seem like you're much of a cyclist. I may be mistaken. Now I'm trying to imagine you in your yellow Lycra.
Well, I'm not
rocketing around Scenic Drive.
I'm not a reality TV star either, but I enjoy watching those too.
Yeah.
But no, I love it. Tour de France, primary reason I love it is because they have awesome HD footage from cameras of just France.
Yeah. They've got the helicopter follow cams and the motorcycles,
yep.
The two up
yep.
motorcycles yep. riding around. Yeah, yeah, that's good stuff.
All that stuff. Yep. Really, really cool stuff. Like the chopper cameras are fantastic. They'll find a cathedral and they'll orbit it in the camera. You know, HD camera on a gimbal orbiting the thing.
Yeah.
And they'll orbit it just perfectly, so they time it as the race comes into town. You'll get a view of the races in the distance with the angel on top of the cathedral superimposed in the foreground.
Yeah.
Incredibly framed, just wonderfully done. The guys just know their stuff, and they've obviously, you know, pretty planned the shots and everything.
Yeah,
got the timing perfect. It's just great, really great to watch.
That's cool.
And then there's the strategy, and you know, the strategy is like test cricket and chess and everything else mixed into one. And of course, the guys are high on speed and coke and whatever it is, nandrolone and
replacement blood transfusions full of oxygen,
blood, clobuterol, whatever the hell those things are. And so they just go like bananas. They ride at 60 k's an hour all day, every day. And then they crash and they break bones and graze legs. And, you know, crashes worthy of, you know, IndyCar and car racing as well. This has everything. It's fantastic.
Yeah. I hear everything you're saying, but in the end, it's cycling.
Yeah, I don't know. I just love it. I really, really enjoy it.
I would actually watch it for the camera angles and stuff.
Yeah, do that if you can find it. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not going to.
Get it from your auntie.
If it was girls in bikinis, I might be more excited about it, riding thousands of kilometres.
If you're listening, we're going to have Auntie, we're having, what is it, Agony Aunt, Discourse Agony Aunt later in the show as well, so stay tuned for that. Is that what we're calling it?
I don't know what we're calling it. You've invented it, and it's already defined, so it's a little bit awkward. Now people are going to think that they can write to us with questions about, you know, some growth that they've got on their genitalia that they've just discovered. Well,
they can do that too, but
I'm going to put your mind at ease. The growth on your chin. Shut up. Fuck. You're so frustrating. Like you did that on purpose.
Yeah.
You bastard. All right. I'm going over here reading. You guys can talk for a while if you want.
What are you trying to read your news things? Are we on to news then? That's all everything that happened this week. Nothing else happened this week.
Well, the massive earthquake that upset no one. There's been heaps of earthquakes. Just now, we had like a Melbourne. 6 point what under Taupo.
Yep.
And we had a 4.4 in Melbourne. Excellent. 4.5 in Wellington, and a what in Melbourne?
A four and a bit in Gippsland.
I don't know where Gippsland is.
On the hangout?
Stephen Aitchison.
Welcome.
Welcome, Stephen.
You're being recorded live on Discourse.
So you could prank us. Shit cocks, motherfuckers! Fuck knuckle cock and piss! I can prank my goddamn own thing.
You're not really pranking, you can do it yourself.
Do a barrel roll! He's gone.
Oh. You're in one of the live shows, someone rickrolled us.
You just gave him the impression that Hangout is nothing more than chat roulette.
That I don't think that could have gone better.
Somehow?
He's left
find, Ben?
Yeah.
and a massive anxiety when it comes to adding new people to your Google Plus to decide precisely which circle to put them in?
I do. And then I had a friend circle for a while that was really just people that I really knew. Like, I even struggled to put you in that circle, Dylan, but I did in the end.
I'd come to your house for dinner, motherfucker.
No, I put you straight in the friend circle, to be honest, and as I did Morgan. But there were a few people that I thought, I've met them, you know, I've met them in person. Do I put them in the friend circle? I don't want to put them in just everybody.
People can't see what circle you put them in, can they?
I know, they can't. But there's only one thing to that. If you were to send a message to a circle saying, hey, everyone, I'm sending this to my cock knuckles circle.
Yeah.
Then they would see it and know they're in that circle. That's the only way you can kind of reveal.
Yeah, but who's going to do that? Because I also have circles called, I've got one called invitees, which I created just to put people in to try and invite them, although I'm not sure if that's worked.
Right.
I've got one called people I don't really know, who is people who have turned up and I kind of go, that name seems familiar, but I have no idea who you are.
Mm.
And then I've got Twitter people.
Yep.
For people who I'm pretty sure I follow on Twitter, but it's kind of difficult because... real names are Twitter names. I don't always know who they are.
I've got friends and family, which I think are default.
Yeah.
And then I added work and... Or maybe these are just the default ones. Following, you know, one that we...
No,
everyone
I've got friends, family, acquaintances, following. Those were the defaults.
Right, and I created work.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's like friends or acquaintances...
Well, because really? you look at what it says about friends, and it's like people you want to share everything with. It's like, oh, I don't know about that now.
But I don't think it's that. It's just really who you want to see updates from, is it? Because it seems to be that's the main reason.
But who you want to share your updates with as well.
It's just so weird. I don't get it.
It's really, really... The problem I had with Facebook as well is like a lot of, you know, there's a lot of people I've met through bloody years of internet use. You know, on places like IRC, and I know them by their nicknames or by their, you know, whatever. I don't always know their real names. And Facebook and Google Plus are all about real names. So unless someone's using their real name on Twitter, which is where I interact with a lot of people on Twitter now. Unless someone's using their real name on Twitter, I don't really know who they are. There's all these people on there, and they're showing up on my Google Plus, and I'm like, that name sounds familiar, but I've got no idea who the hell you are. So you're obviously not a friend, but what are you?
And have you got more followers than followed on Twitter as well, don't you?
Yeah, I've got close to 1,500 followers. I follow, I don't know, 400 people or something.
Yeah, and that's the thing is so you don't. I know
who know me who I don't necessarily know.
I think that's what it is. I know a lot of. I know everyone I follow pretty much, but yeah, there's a lot of people who follow me who are following me on Google Plus that.
But even a lot of the people I follow, I wouldn't necessarily know it by their real names. You know, I recognise their Twitter handles.
Is this the only point of Google Plus to make people like reevaluate their social circles? Maybe that's what it is. Maybe it's a special
project.
It's a social project and the rapture's gonna come soon and they'll use your circles to work out who should be who should be elevated.
Who gets raptured. Should we have a circle for this person? Should we have a to be raptured circle perhaps? Actually it'd be interesting to log into God's Google Plus and see what circle you're in.
Yeah. It's like purgatory, rapture, God, and
damned
everyone else.
God and Jesus will have Google Pluses, won't they?
Jesus Christ is already on there.
Is he?
Yeah, so is Mark Zuckerberg.
Yeah, that's
Mark Zuckerberg has
kind
more
of
followers
surprises me.
Than Sergey Brin.
It's a good sport sort of a move, actually, for him to be on there.
Do you think it really is him?
Yes.
It is. There's been some Scoble comments about it and stuff. He has to be there to see, you know, to look at it in terms of comparison as well.
Why wouldn't he come in as Joe Bly? I suppose there's no reason to hide, is there? That's an interesting thing, though, that Facebook and Google Plus have kind of done away with the pseudonyms on the internet. Like, I stopped using not my real name on the internet a while ago, but Google Plus, LinkedIn, Facebook, they're all about real names.
Hmm.
There isn't an option for some silly warlock name or something.
I think it's a good thing. I mean, most of the trash on the internet comes from anonymity. Would that be true?
Well, I don't know. I think there's always a place for anonymity and keeping your... Like, sometimes you want to keep your internet life separate from your professional life, for example. It doesn't bother me particularly, but some people it does. Well, it does bother me, actually, because there are things I can't say about certain things based on what I do for a living, you know.
I suppose that's true. Spoilers.
There's opinion and comment I'm just not really in a position to offer.
But isn't that the same of anything? Like, you wouldn't say that at a dinner party? You wouldn't come out and, you know...
What do you think I wouldn't say at a dinner party?
You wouldn't whip it out at a dinner party, Morgan, would you? Really?
Not a party. At a small gathering of friends, perhaps.
Oh, dear. So, have we done Google Plus to death? Are you happy now, Morgan? You happy? You made us talk about it more.
Am I happy? I will only be happy if I can tell you guys the word.
What word?
A well, a bird, bird, bird. A bird's a word. A well, a bird, bird, bird. Well, a bird is a word. A well, a bird, bird. A bird's a word. A well, a bird, bird, bird. A bird's a word. A well, a bird, bird, bird. Well, a bird is a word.
Morgan, what the hell are you doing? Okay, I've got some news.
Dick?
Yeah, what's that?
And it's sad news, really.
Oh, no.
Sad space flight news.
Oh, no, what is that?
I think it's 3:36 a.m. Saturday morning, New Zealand time. This is the final launch of the space shuttle ever.
Oh, good. Those old pieces of junk. They seem so low tech. Do you know what I mean?
All space flight is low tech. It's so horribly low tech.
It's like brute force.
I've said it on Discourse. Yeah, it's as dumb as a hammer.
Yeah.
Right? Just fucking light it up and get there.
Yeah.
But just the romance and mystery of it all still attracts me.
Yeah.
My favorite thing that I've learned about space flight from having watched some YouTube video was that I didn't realize that all those massive plumes of smoke that come out of the rocket engines aren't smoke at all. They're just water vapor.
Steam. Yeah, water vapor, steam.
The result of the process is water vapor.
Yeah. Well,
yeah, they're quite clean burning.
Not necessarily true. Part of that water is from the million odd gallons that they dump into the space under the shuttle that protects the shuttle from
noise suppression.
Yeah, it's noise suppression.
Yeah, there's that, but no, because the engines burn, I presume, a combination of hydrogen and oxxygen.
Pretty much.
Or hydrogen peroxide?
Hydrazine. Yeah, something like that.
But
yeah.
Basically, the resultant product is actually water vapor, it's not smoke.
Well, that's the ideal oxidizer, right? It's hydrogen and oxygen. That's the most efficient burning process, oxidization process you can do. So
It's ferric oxide and aluminium and other things.
Right.
So basically, the main
source is SRBs.
Yeah.
Solid rockets.
Basically, what's coming out the back is a cloud. It's just a cloud.
No,
cloud.
I don't think you'd want to breathe deeply. Because the bit you missed was it's aluminium. And iron.
Right.
Yeah. The one thing I learned about spaceflight from watching, I think it was from the Earth to the Moon, that amazing documentary, was that when you're riding on the top of a Saturn V or even a space shuttle, you can actually feel the thing balancing and hunting for the correct direction because, you know, they've got big gimbals on the rockets that move fractionally to keep the thing on target. And he said it feels like being at the tip of a pencil being balanced on a finger, and you can feel it wobbling back and forth. That's amazing.
Yeah.
Stunning. Anyway, I love manned space flight just because it's...
Someone might have just been a clip on Twitter or something. If you looked at NASA's history backwards... NASA, whatever. If you look at the history backwards, they're a space agency that has no space flight capability. then they can fly to low Earth orbit. Then they can
land on the moon.
Land,
well, you really fucked up that awesome story. It's so simple, and you got it wrong.
So edit it out. Put it in yourself. But you'll sound like the genius.
No, I assure you, no one sounded like a genius just then. I think that what we need is space elevators.
Oh, shit. We've offended Ben so much he's taken his headset off.
Yeah, so he doesn't know that we can talk about him. He's got a QR code. I'm going to try and decipher the QR code via webcam. Listeners, he's got a QR code on his shirt. As soon as I find my fucking app. Oh, there we go. Barcode scanner.
Can you do it?
bnz.co.nz/grmobilet.
There you go.
That's pretty cool. I like that.
I'm
sure our listeners like it as well.
BNZ's new mobile banking.
Right.
Actually, a car drove past me the other day with a QR code on it, a huge QR code on the door, and it turns out it was from qrcode.co.nz or something.
Are they selling QR codes? How much do they charge?
$700 million, I have no idea.
But you can make your own. I don't understand why anyone would pay.
No, Morgan, you need to get your QR code before they're all sold out. What are you talking about?
But my domain name will never be sold out. It's always going to be encoded.
Have you got a QR code for it yet?
I just do it anyhow.
There you go. Look, there you go. Someone else could grab it before you.
It's impossible. Well, they could grab it, but it would still be a link to my domain name, and then I could still use the exact same one. It's not a disadvantage to me if someone else uses my QR code.
I sense a business proposition here. It's great.
Get it was QR codes that cut it in Z that went past me, that drove past me, and I have no idea what the hell it is still.
Oh.
It's Vertise Limited.
Good advertising.
Yeah, so there you go. They've got an ugly website that anyway.
Good old ugly websites, eh?
Speaking of ugly.
Yes, Ben?
I'm still the only one with a webcam.
I'm trying to look at a segue that comes after ugly. Have you got anything? Martin Bradbury.
Oh, that's cold. And actually, funny you should mention ugly websites. So Martin Bradbury, there's this national party and further to the right even backed anti-MMP group called Vote for Change.
Vote for things that are good for us.
Yeah. Well, basically, they don't want you to vote. And if you do vote, they don't want your vote to count unless it's for a big established right-wing party, really. That's what they want.
Take your pick.
Yeah, pretty much. So Martin, old bomber Bradbury, went through the founding members list, which was published, and he found that one of them was one... Oh, cock, I haven't got it on my fucking screen. One of them is a Nazi, an actual white supremacist, in photos with a swastika doing Sieg Heil. You know, on websites.
Come on, Morgan, be reasonable. MMP is all about proportional representation. You know, everyone should have a say.
But the point of a white supremacist is that only white people should have a say, right? Oh, and right, what MMP has provided is a voice for Maori and women and, you know, more recent immigrants and the gays and so on. That's who...
Can the gays vote?
Gays can vote as long as they're over the age of 18.
Right. Wow.
Just like everyone else.
That's so what a genuine white supremacist vote for change.
An actual proper white supremacist.
White supremacists are there members of the National Party anyway? Must be
none.
Reasonable.
Oh, members of the party? I don't know. Members of Parliament for National? None. None.
Well, that's the thing.
Because they're toxic. You can't touch them or you'll die.
Yeah, but no, if you cast a net over members of the National Party, you're bound to catch a few white supremacists. So I don't know if it's a particular...
The National Party doesn't vet their membership. However, this guy was a founding member of the Vote for Change organisation. He was a on the board kind of thing. It'd be like having a white supremacist in caucus for the National Party.
So the white supremacist's name is Alex Fogarty, and this is not... slander. He is a white supremacist. He is a Nazi, a neo-Nazi. In the wake of this, the token lefty who is a member of Vote for Change is former Labour Party President Bob Harvey. He's resigned. Professional ass bearer Bob Harvey. You might remember him. So he's gotten the hell out of there. I don't know what he thought he was doing. What did he think he was doing, Bob Harvey? What did he think he was doing being in Vote for Change? It's ludicrous.
The interesting thing about Vote for Change is at this point, they're not, at least they don't appear to be advocating for an alternative system. They are advocating because it's two referendums, isn't it? The first one is...
Do you want change?
Do we want to have another referendum?
Yeah, well...
And, yeah, the first one's do you want change? And if we say yes, then the second one is change to what?
Well...
That's the way
yes and no.
PN, wasn't it?
Yeah. Well,
yeah, it was. They had a vote for do you want anything other than first past the post, and then they had a runoff, and then they had a vote. Yeah, it was three. I think it was even three to get there. Yeah.
The last vote that we'll have will be MMP versus whatever the favoured alternative option is. I've got a feeling MMP is going to come back.
Okay, so is it three referendums then? Is it one?
I think it's two.
Change?
No, I think it's two.
So are we two this year and then one next year?
Yeah.
Or one next election?
Yeah, I think that's right. I think, do you want change? Mm. What is your preferred alternative? And then the following one is next time.
We should do some sort of election coverage when it happens.
That'd be a good idea. Let's not talk about it in public. But here's the thing. The government promised that they would run an education campaign because... election systems are really complicated and actually can be quite difficult to understand. And there was
TV meant to be the most representative one, but it's also the least easy to understand. STV is the one where I think where you rank everyone.
STV is what we use for council elections, I think, isn't it? Like health boards and stuff.
Yeah, I believe so. But I'm not sure how it works with the electoral. You know, like you say, with national elections, whether you're STVing for the party vote or. Yeah.
Well, I suppose you could do a hybrid, but I think if we went to STV, I think it would be back to a single electorate vote. Yeah. I think that's the idea. That it'd be back to a single electorate vote. But
well, that'd be just the same as FPP then, wouldn't it? Because all the big parties would win the STV seats.
Maybe. Oh, I don't know. So what, just MMP, I understand MMP now. Can we just keep that, please?
Yeah. Seriously, and possibly make tweaks. One interesting tweak that I heard proposed was changing the way the threshold works by requiring that you get to drag anyone in based on your party vote. You also need to get at least electorate votes.
Two electorate votes?
Yeah, so yeah, Rodney Hyde wouldn't be able to bring six people in by getting one electorate vote.
Well,
he'd only get in himself, anyway. Right?
But because the Greens wouldn't get in at all.
No, the Greens would get in because they'd get in because they're over the threshold on the party vote. The threshold is 5%.
Oh, I see. Right,
and so they'd get, you know, somewhere between 7 and 11%, probably. Here, ACT would get 2%. ACT would get one person because they get one electorate vote. Probably they'll get one.
Well, I don't think they will anymore.
Well, we'll see. I think that Epsom will vote for Banks. I believe that they will.
They certainly won't get two.
Yeah, they certainly won't get two, but that's academic because that isn't that hasn't been changed. Mm. But you're right. They certainly won't get two because who else would vote for ACT? Who else has been who else has been brainwashed by their party leaders into voting for ACT? It's very much in National's favour to have ACT in the House.
Interesting in politics, isn't every? I mean, we just said Webb was interesting. Politics is interesting too. Phil Goff's finally going to come out and have a with a tax policy, which probably will include. Well, yeah, that too. He'll finally come out, and then he'll also talk about a tax policy, which hopefully
capital gains tax. Better involve capital gains tax, and also
why he didn't do that around budget time. Surely that was the time to do it. I was just frustrated.
You know what? I've been interested by media release stuff lately because, strangely enough, related to the release of Windows Phone Mango update. And the guy, the product manager for Windows Phone made a really interesting point when developers were clamoring for beta access that he was talking about single focus. So when the news cycle was all about the reviews, they were determined not to add anything to the news cycle because they wanted it to be a clean message. So that may be the thing, is when it's budget time and everyone's going crazy, why would you go and announce your tax policy, which would get muddied by the budget debate?
Okay, it wasn't a tax policy. What I would have liked to see from Labor was something other than the nothing response they gave to the budget. Because they obviously when the National Party releases a budget or when the government releases a budget, the media automatically go to the opposition for their comment on the budget.
Right.
And apparently what's happened in the past, and I seem to remember this,
the opposition has
released a shadow budget, has said, well, this is what we would do with that money. And it's, you know, it's more illuminating than just kind of a general, they're dumb response, which is kind of what we got this year.
At least we're not as fucked as the US at the moment. We'll leave it at that. It's extra for experts. A lesson for the, exercise for the listeners. Go and find out why the US Parliament,
US Parliament.
What do you call it? Senate, House, and
Congress.
Budget is fucked right now.
Why is that?
Two things. One is their debt is nearing 100% of GDP.
Yeah.
It's about 90%. And the other is they have a frozen debt ceiling that they can't agree to raise, which is bizarre.
Well, that seems like it's probably a good idea.
Spending on the military.
Yeah, that'd be a good idea.
Or money they don't have to pay for that annoying space program anymore.
That was the other thing that happened this week that we didn't actually put on the show, which was the SAS raid was carefully and utterly, carefully decomposed by the papers, and it talked about it being a raging success.
But SAS raid? Which SAS raid are you talking about?
In Afghanistan. Yeah. Not a raid, sorry. Taliban got into a hotel and started shooting people up and blowing themselves up. And the Herald had this great long thing about how successful the SAS was in I guess, what, wandering the halls while people were being shot and blown up?
Responding to it, essentially, putting
this. Yeah. The way I read was that it was this huge, huge successful takedown, but as far as I could tell, they didn't actually get any of the guys. They all blew themselves up.
Anyway. Well, I saw the one that was apparently a sniper team shooting from a helicopter against some guys on the roof. No, apparently in ZSAS, but who knows?
Wow, this is the first I've heard of any of this.
It was like,
really?
SAS injured in Afghanistan. So I was like, yeah, shocking.
Exactly, it's a war. You're there as a soldier.
Should I stop marking NZ Herald red? Mark all red. That's what I do with NZ Herald. Mark all red.
Well, so did you miss maskophobia too then?
Maskophobia? I don't know what maskophobia is.
I didn't know what it was either until apparently two NZ bus drivers in separate incidences on separate buses with what's that, sorry?
There were two NZ bus drivers suffer from this maskophobia. It's terrifying.
Yeah,
it's...
haven't you heard of maskophobia? Two guys apparently suffer from it. What it was that in two incidents that have been reported to the Human Rights Commission, two different bus drivers refused access to the bus to women in burqas.
What? Why?
Well,
because they had their faces covered, and these bus drivers, these poor bus drivers, are terrified by people who cover their faces. They're terrified by masks.
So this is a quote. NZ Bus said both drivers in the incidents had been sent on counselling programs and had been found to be suffering from, quote, maskophobia, maskophobia.
Bullshit.
No.
You fucking liars.
It goes on later on to say that there is a that some person from some person from like a phobias support group says, why would anyone make this up? Basically.
There's a quote, further quotes. Where was it? I'm trying to find it.
Down near
now.
The bottom of the article, if it's the stuff one.
Yeah. New Zealand bus, yeah, so both drivers claim it's not religious, but they genuinely have a phobia of people wearing masks, hence why we have not dismissed them, General Manager John Calder said yesterday.
What fucking liars?
Actually, another point there I also want to bring up is hence why, which is just a terrible thing to say, hence why.
it's so many things about this are bizarre. Like, how did both bus drivers suddenly say, oh yeah, I'm scared of people in masks?
Well, I wonder if perhaps they both went to the same company supplied counselor.
Yes, absolutely. The best thing about this whole episode, though, is if you Google maskophobia, it suggests masklophobia.
Fear of men?
Genuine phobia of mascots.
That's much more understandable. I can totally believe more people having that.
Absolutely. It's kids, especially, who are scared of big furry animals, people dressed as big furry animals.
Yeah.
And if a giant Big Bird or squirrel tried to get on the bus, then absolutely.
Here's the quote I was looking for. The phobic trust chief, so the phobic trust is presumably a trust supporting people who have phobias. The phobic trust chief executive, Marcia Reed, said people could be phobic of anything and phobias could affect anyone at any time.
I don't need...
anyone would make it up. You'd have to be a small-minded layperson to think they were putting this on. So I'm a small-minded layperson.
Fuck you, lady. Of course they're putting it on. They're putting it on because the PR company begged them to.
I bet they got the condition for them to keeping their jobs was to pretend they had maskophobia.
Yeah.
The thing that the most annoying thing about this is it basically opens the debate for New Zealand Herald Your Views and everyone else to start talking about burqas and France's burqa ban and.
Look, maybe that's a reasonable debate, but it's a separate issue. At the moment, there's not a ban on such things, and kicking people off the bus because they're wearing religious attire that you don't like is...
It's not the job of a bus driver. The job of a bus driver is to say, has this person paid to get on the bus? If they have, then they get on the bus, and they get off where they want to.
So then I was thinking, what would I have done if I was on the bus? I like to think I would have actually said something. Because
call the guy out. Pull your bloody head in.
Yeah.
Maybe you could have helped him out defending himself against the terrifying small woman.
I wonder how many bus drivers there are. Is there like maybe a couple of thousand bus drivers in New Zealand bus? So does that mean the incidence of maskophobia in the population is kind of one or two in a thousand?
Maybe it's got some sort of correlation to people who like to drive buses.
That's what I want to do is wear a mask and start trying to get on buses and see if I can scare people.
Well, it's questionable whether you'd be able to get on it. You know, there is some argument that people wearing masks shouldn't be able to get on buses, but you understand what's going on with a burqa or whatever. Like someone said, you know, what would happen if I tried to get on a bus wearing a balaclava? Well, I don't know. I suspect it wouldn't go well. But
but what if it was really cold?
Well, yeah, actually, it probably would. You know, in Dunedin, maybe you could get away with it.
Yep, I think so. So you mentioned a motorbike helmet. Why would you wear a motorbike helmet on the bus?
I don't have fucking seat belts.
I've got a phobia of being injured, Morgan.
Yeah,
it's to protect my valuable nose. So Dylan mentioned NZ Herald, your views going batshit about burqa bans and so on. I would just like to point out that I read a completely non-insane comment in your views. This is ridiculous. It was on an article. It was an Alan McRoby, Education on Voting Systems Vital, is the title of it. I guess it's an editorial. And the comment from Big Tones in Wanaka, I would like to see a direct comparison between systems. Is it possible for the Herald to look at the last few elections and show us what Parliament would have looked like under the different systems? I have a horror of first past the post. It got us Muldoon under a clear false result, and consequently the 1981 Springbok tour. Oddly, that is exactly 30 years ago and the reason that electors in New Zealand chose MMP. What I like about MMP is that plenty of korero is required to form a government that usually is a consensus of national opinion. Governments in the past had less than 40% support and could safely ignore the majority wishes on nuclear power, Vietnam War, nuclear weapons, racism and sexism.
Wow, that's a really sort of cogent response.
Yep.
I'm going to pull it apart piece by piece. Yep. Is it possible for the New Zealand Herald to look at the last few elections and show us the Parliament would have looked down to the different systems?
No, it's
no,
not.
No, because that would be sort of reporting.
If the New Zealand Herald was bus drivers, we'd be fucked.
I thought, you know, your views might be a little bit rational for this, so I've just gone to the Trade Me forums to see what they have to say.
That wasn't the direction I expected you to go in, Ben.
Yeah, I'm just going to look at the rest of it. Unfortunately, I do agree with a lot of it. So
yeah, sorry. There you go.
The problem with trying to show how it would look in the last few elections is, I guess...
Well, you just can't. You just can't.
No, and you can't compare STV and that sort of stuff because you don't know how people would have voted.
Exactly. You can't do it.
No, you can only really compare it with first past the post, and even then it doesn't really work because... But if you just took the electorates and figured it out from there,
yeah.
Because you could. I guess you could really look at the grid block results and cast them back on the previous electoral boundaries and stuff. But that'd be crazy talk.
Yeah.
Again, like I say, that'd be investigative reporting. So, yeah, not possible.
Yeah, it's not within the Herald's remit anymore. You're quite right. They don't really do the reporting thing these days. No, they're just kind of an advertising platform, really, aren't they?
No, I've seen them a press release from the anti-MMP front, and they published that, though. So, yeah.
Maybe we should start our vote for... We need to start our own little group. What would we call it? Vote for the status quo.
Don't make any changes.
Stay the course. Vote for awesome. Now, we need to use all that neuro-linguistic stuff, that, like, Patriot Act stuff. So it needs to have an acronym that is, like... Oh. That is like Think of the Children. That's a long name,
super
though.
Cool. Or, yep. Yeah. You're right.
And
how far do you go? Do you go like Big Cock? Or is that, if you had an acronym that spelled that out?
I think that you'd be in trouble if you did that. I was thinking just something like, your acronym is awesome.
Yeah, and I'm just wondering if you couple it up with spam, you know, and try and get it through people's mailboxes.
Now, is that actually an acronym? Or is it like there's something else. It's like an initialism or something? Or an abbreviationism?
What's that?
Like acronym actually, Patriot Act, I think, is an acronym because it's like, it spells something out. But normal ones, like NASA, isn't really a word. So it's just like an initialism, something like
yes.
that. Like
yeah,
acronym, acronym doesn't mean what we think it does. So like MMP is not an acronym.
Because it's become a word in itself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not a word in itself.
No,
something
ever,
like
that. No one ever associates it with multi-member proportional. They just say MMP.
Yeah, and they definitely don't say MMP. And if you did say MMP, you wouldn't know what someone was talking about.
You do if you're singing a Hanson song sometimes.
MMP up, doop it up, doop up, boo up, doop it doo 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 up, doop it doo 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 I don't know. I don't actually know Hanson songs. I've just realised that I haven't got an Urban Dictionary Word of the Week.
That's okay. I've got a question for Morgan of the week.
Oh, goody.
I've got a test for you, Morgan.
Yeah.
You know traffic roundabouts?
Yep.
You know them? Yeah, you stop and you go around the roundabout?
Oh, sometimes I stop. Depends on what visibility is like.
Exactly. Sometimes I might pass straight through. Have you read this article and you're going to...
No, I definitely haven't. I haven't read anything about roundabouts in the last ages.
Okay. So both Morgan and whatever your other name is, Dylan, I'm going to ask you a question. When was the first traffic roundabout installed in the USA?
1961.
I'm going to guess that it's something they don't do. I bet that it's either never or it's 2011.
Might not be that, actually. It might be more, because they've got four-way stops.
Hmm.
Anyway.
Final answers.
Well, he gave his final answer, and it was 1960 whatever. And my final answer is, let's just say very recently. I'm going to say 2010, 2011, or never, or it hasn't happened yet.
Yeah, I think you're more closer to right, Morgan. It was 1990, which I think for me was surprisingly recently.
Right.
So apparently the roundabout revolution is sweeping the US.
Yeah.
So the first roundabout appeared in 1990, and now apparently a bunch of cities are replacing intersections really quickly because it means less maintenance costs.
Yeah.
You know, and obviously a lot of local governments are running out of money in the States. So if they can put a roundabout in and save on having to replace light bulbs and maintain traffic signals and that sort of stuff, they're doing it. But apparently American drivers are upset because it leads to high accidents. Yeah. And requires everyday acts of spontaneous cooperation and yielding to others that are like un-American.
Yeah.
Well, it's interesting because Americans, yeah, that is rather un-American. Americans in four-way stop, and on four-way stops,
it's just a roundabout.
Whoever got there first, right?
It's
whoever has the biggest car.
Backed up on all four.
Yeah.
No, it's probably it as well. If it's backed up on all four, I think you just go one at a time from the left or right. I don't know which order it is, but right. You take turns essentially.
Whoever arrives first, or
I think it's whoever arrives first.
Yeah, it's whoever arrives first. If you've not got, you know, depending on how many people there are, but if there's people backed up on all four, then it's just a round, you know, a take turns kind of thing.
Mm. Yeah,
I was surprised by that. I just thought they were quite you know, they would have just been around everywhere. I didn't realize they were.
That sound means that we just lost our room, dear listeners. Crashy crash. We'll be right back. Well, isn't that always the way, listeners? Isn't that always the way? Isn't it?
Hello. It was an interesting foray into the world of crashy crashness and podcasts.
I guess we exceeded whatever duration. That was an hour, I guess, around about an hour.
Oh, wow. We just edge-tested a bug.
No, it was longer than that because I joined at 8:26.
Hmm. So we just finished talking about roundabouts. Next story.
I want to say about roundabouts, this thing about Americans yielding or whatever and not wanting to yield. I don't know if that's true. I don't think
it's
that's true.
Not,
the thing about roundabouts, though, is that roundabouts are really good because no one... I mean, so a problem, if you've probably never experienced this, but if you ride a scooter, sometimes you don't trip off the sensor coil in a street light.
Yes.
And absolutely. And so sometimes you'll roll up to a red light. You know, if you're on a minor side street going into a major road and there'll be a green cross, even if it changes quickly, you get stopped unnecessarily. But sometimes it doesn't change quickly. Sometimes you have to wait for ages for no traffic, right? Mm. You're waiting for nothing. And I've waited for probably minutes before for nothing, for no cars. And it's illegal for me to go, right?
Mm.
But with a roundabout, you never, ever, ever get that.
No.
If no one's coming, you go right through.
Yeah, the article I was referring to is a Slashdot article, and it's quite funny because a lot of the comments are sort of, oh, no, you know, everyone knows roundabouts aren't as efficient as traffic lights. And
rubbish.
You look at them when there's heavy traffic and blah, blah, blah.
What they aren't as good for, I'll tell you what they aren't as good for, and it's pedestrians.
You got to have the pedestrian crossing back from each crossing.
Exactly, exactly. Yeah. Which means that if you're going for something from a shop, say, on a corner to a shop on an adjacent corner, you actually have quite a long walk, well, relatively longer walk.
I'd assume they're not replacing traffic lights so much as they're replacing their four-way stops, though. And it looks like four-way stop, according to Wikipedia, people have to, in USA vehicles proceed through the intersection in the order they arrived.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Yeah, no, that is what you said. I had a recollection of taking turns if they were sort of backed up, but I don't know.
Yeah.
Because, you know, once there's a few there, who knows when they arrived.
Yeah. That's funny, actually. So you've got to have a little tab sheet in your car to work out who arrived when.
Take a number.
That'd be good.
Next story.
What's the next story? What is the next story?
Do you want to know your story?
Have I got any more? I don't think I've got any more. I've got one more. Yay! So everyone knows that Rib was very excited. Oh, everyone's heard this story. There's no point in building it up and being all secretive. So News Corporation, Rupert Murdoch in the form of News Corporation bought MySpace for $580 million a few years ago. And everyone was like, holy shit, seriously? Because this was before Facebook came up. Well, Facebook had I guess, started, but MySpace was still the big player. But the tide had turned, I think, at this point already.
Yeah,
so they were already starting to sink. And then it was like, wow, $580 million. Old Tom, or whoever it was that started MySpace, made a killing, made an absolute killing. And so then News Corp has mismanaged MySpace for, you know, over half a decade. I guess when was that, like 96, 2006, 2007, something like that?
Would it have mattered how they managed MySpace? Didn't it just become uncool?
Was it ever cool?
Yes, it was cool. Of course it was cool. It was cool when it was doing the job that it was originally set up to do, which was provide websites for small bands and musicians, which is what it originally was. It wasn't for punters. It was for bands. It was for you know, music creators. And so it can actually go back into being a site for creators to host their stuff.
I don't think that's what it was originally, though.
Of course
I know
it was.
That's what it became. And there was a big thing about artists, but I'm fairly certain when it first came out, it was mostly about individuals.
Do you reckon?
And MySpace. It wasn't called BandSpace.
I never experienced it as anything other. In the earliest days of my experience with it, I never saw it as anything other than a site for musicians. And then other people joining in, fans and
fans.
So on.
Yeah.
No, it was definitely individuals. I'm sure it was individuals first. And then musicians came along after. So, it became more of an individuals thing later.
Yeah.
So how much did they sold it for?
They sold it for $35 million.
That's amazing.
Yeah, pocket change. They sold it to a company called Specific Media, which is, and this is kind of the funny part, it's partly owned by Justin Timberlake. Well, he's a shareholder anyway, so it's very strange. But News Corporation, they may have paid $580 million, but the estimate is that their losses are actually more like $1 billion US.
Because they would have pumped a lot of money into it to
exactly.
run it and upgrade it.
Exactly.
They had a major facelift, didn't it?
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. And I think that going from $35 million, they can actually turn it into something that makes them a bunch of money if they're actually smart. And I think it's clear that,
My favorite thing about Justin Timberlake buying it is that he seems to have taken on his role in social network a little bit literally now.
Yeah, that's right.
On a social media site.
That's right.
What is it? You know what's cool?
A billion. You know what? Yeah, that's right.
10 billion.
You know what's cooler than a billion? Yeah, whatever. Oh God, we're blowing the anecdotes. Our quotes are ruined. Dylan, you've infested us with just, you know, being a little bit wrong. Actually, it's me that's infested us with that.
So next story, call back to Discourse episode. I don't even remember when. Yeah. Was a Discourse episode we were talking about how many cubic meters of gold had ever been mined?
Yeah,
something like 20, was it?
Yeah, it was 20 or 25 cubic meters only. It was a tiny amount, relatively, I think.
And we made the point, or I think we both said that we were at pretty much peak everything. All the things like platinum and nickel and things that are important, palladium for electronics, were all pretty much running out.
Yeah. Well, they're not necessarily running out, but the big deposits are running out. I mean, there's elemental stuff distributed all over the Earth's crust, but you know, actually finding it. You know, you get down to the parts per million, parts per billion, rather than, you know, a visible ore, right? Like seams of whatever.
Well, apparently not. Apparently, some Japanese researchers and geologists have discovered that there are about 100 billion tons of rare earth elements in the mud of the Pacific Ocean floor.
Right, and all we have to do is what? Rape the Pacific Ocean?
Well, I do notice that left wing mouthpiece BBC.co.uk has, you know, accompanying the story, a picture of a diver and a stingray in sort of a, what you could say would be an ecological position.
Yeah.
Probably the problem is, I think you'll find that those rare earth minerals are guarded by whales.
Yeah.
So we have to get rid of the whales first.
Well, it's funny that it's Japanese researchers who've discovered this, and they're also furthest along in figuring out how to defend ourselves against the terror that is the whales.
Once we start taking the minerals, the whales will defend them. They'll come back and they'll attack us.
And we'll be welcoming the Institute of Cetacean Research and saying, "You guys, you need to help us out."
Yeah, and the New Zealand-based PR representative.
That motherfucker. That fucking traitor.
We should get him on the show. Let's get him on the show.
If we do, I can't talk to him, though, because I will just... I'll just attack him the whole time!
Just quickly closing the story. The deposits have a heavy concentration of rare earth, just 1 square kilometre, Morgan.
Yeah.
Or 0.4 of your square miles of deposits will be able to provide 1/5 of the current global annual consumption.
Wow.
So there you go.
1 square kilometre, but to how much depth?
Yeah.
The minerals are found at depths of 3,500 to 6,000 meters.
No, but I mean, it's not just like you're lifting a centimeter of 1 square kilometer.
It's only the bottom of the ocean. It's only the bottom of the ocean, Dylan. How bad can it be? They could take, you know, they could dig it 10 miles deep, and it wouldn't make a difference, surely.
Also, I don't know. My father drove a tractor into a lake once. In New York.
I'm not going to let you bait me, Ben.
I'm pretty sure that a digger's not going to work 3,000 metres under the water.
Your visions of, you know, those unsteady underwater cameras in a dim light, and there's a dude sitting on a tractor.
So how expensive is it to mine at the bottom of the ocean? It must be expensive mining.
It can't be, you know.
Dredge it up?
I guess so.
What did you say, 3,000 metres?
3,500 to 6,000, so 3.5 to 6 kilometres deep.
Right.
Oh, so, yeah. But that's pretty deep.
They've got robots that can operate down there. So all they need to do is put a hose down there and suck up the mud and they're done, surely.
Yeah, that's all. All they have to do is destroy the seabed. That's all. So that we can have cheap iPhones. That's all they have to do. Rape the entire planet so that we can have more laptops.
Yeah, the number of firms seeking licenses to dig through the Pacific Ocean floor is growing rapidly.
Great.
Who do they seek the licenses from?
The listed mining company Nautilus has the first license to mine the floor of the Bismarck and Solomon Oceans around Papua New Guinea.
Oh, those poor bastards.
Government then, I guess.
Look what they've licensed away. But we can still only do this once. I mean, we can rape our oceans, but then once that's gone, then what?
Asteroids.
We have to... Oh, yeah, and that is how much does it cost to mine an asteroid? We don't even have space flight capability.
How badly do you need your laptop, Morgan? That's the question. How badly Not that do badly. You need a new phone?
Not that badly. I think I would rather... Now, wouldn't it be great if, in order to get goods...
I bet you change a tune when you see how good these laptops are.
How thin they are. 3D. They're so
thin.
They'll
have 3D. They'll have, like, unlimited battery life.
Well, the thing about aluminium is that it's really recyclable. And so I think maybe we'll reach a point where in order to acquire new goods, you have to go along and exchange equal mass in the same elements. So to get your new laptop, you have to give them your old laptop and they replace it with, you know, the new one with the tighter circuits and the cleverer patterns of aluminium chassis and the higher resolution screen but made of the same materials.
And a refund for your excess materials. That'd be great.
Yeah.
Do you remember there used to be the things, I think they had them at the BP stations, you used to be able to take your cans in and you put it in and it would be like a...
A one-armed bandit.
Yeah, like a one-armed bandit thing.
Yeah.
I remember that.
One of those for your laptop.
Yeah.
For your old laptop.
Drop it in there and squash it up.
I'd be quite happy to trade cans for my laptop. Quite a lot of coke.
Well, they should just start mining landfill.
Absolutely, and there's no question that I'm sure it already is happening in some places. Talk about filthy and disgusting.
Dirty nappy can. Hey.
But the thing is that those dirty nappies, I mean, that is a material. I mean, there's plastic there, and there's mass that can probably be burned for energy, and it's probably, you know, recent, if not current, cycle carbon. So, I mean, you can burn that for energy, and you can, you know, extract whatever elements are useful from it. There's no reason you can't recycle out of, you know, out of the rubbish.
True. How are we going for time? Do you want one more news story? I have a anti-Android. I haven't done an Android. Anti-Android.
All right, go on.
Story for a long time.
Go on.
I've been a good boy.
Yeah.
That's because you haven't been here.
I suggest, by the way, don't worry about time, because the overwhelming response is definitely that people don't care how long it is.
Yeah.
They don't care about it being short. They don't care about it being short.
True. The reason I haven't been panning Android lately is because it's been doing so bloody well.
Yeah.
Just incredible. But so it's grown from 7% market share to 27% market share in a year.
Yeah. Wow, that's pretty good.
But in the last 3 months, it hasn't grown beyond 27% market share. It's flatlined, and meanwhile, Apple has grown 7%.
Is that because there hasn't been any new OS released or something? Or why? I mean, why is that? Is there some analysis with this chart? Or is the reason that it's flatlined just that no one's been asking the question for the last 3 months?
They haven't updated the graph.
And then it's going to spike.
I've noticed fewer new models of handset lately. There doesn't seem to be as many have come out recently. I don't know.
Yes. I honestly think the 3.0 thing is confusing everyone. The whole honeycomb thing only for tablets is completely confusing.
It's bloody stupid. It is so bloody stupid.
Who the fuck knows about that?
Yeah.
Like,
well, all the handset manufacturers do, and they're all sitting there saying we can't get the code for 3.0 because Google and HP and whoever else have said it's only for tablets. You know.
It's not like manufacturers don't know what's going on, though.
I don't know. That's expert analysis. It's beyond my remit.
So according to this chart, this is May 11 to May 11. It must be May 2010 to May 2011. That must be what they really mean. This is the smartphone OS share. It's from Mobile Insights US. They say that the Android market share is 38%. Of the smartphones only, and they say that the iPhone market share is 27%. So Android's
selling more than iPhone now.
And so Android is quite a bit more than iPhone. And BlackBerry is 21%. And Windows Phone 7 is 1%.
This is true.
Windows Mobile...
1% because they round up.
This is the bit that's going to hurt you, Ben. Windows Mobile, 9%.
Yeah, all those nerds keep buying them for their enterprises.
Old pieces of shit. So Android, it's definitely not flatline. It's just not as significant.
It's not growing as much as it was. No. I guess maybe because it's grown so hard that it's topping out.
Yeah. All right. All right. All right. All right. All right. All right. Any more news from you, Ben? Any more news?
There is one more news piece, but I haven't read it, so I shouldn't really refer to it.
All right, you can start reading it while I do this.
Urban Dictionary, word of the week. Urban Dictionary, word of the week. Urban Dictionary, word of the week.
I'll just leave that running while you read.
Word of the week. Urban Dictionary, word of the week. Urban Dictionary, word of the week.
All right.
Oh, God, no, it's a Greens press release, and it's just dense. It's just dense text. It's a wall of text.
Discourse Weekly Show. Discourse Weekly Show. Discourse Weekly Show. Urban Dictionary. Word of the week. You guys keep on talking behind my jingle, which will make me make my jingle really, really long. That's what she said.
Trouts.
Oh, I know the story you're talking about then. Okay, we're not doing Word of the Week. This is about Federated Farmers, the outgoing president of Federated Farmers, who says that it's not farming runoff that is polluting our rivers, it's trout.
It's the fucking trout.
It's trout. The algae blooms are not from runoff of nitrogen fertilizers and so on, and effluent from the huge cattle populations that we now have, dairy cows particularly. It's the trout. It's the trout who are eating invertebrates that previously would have ate whatever would keep the algal blooms down. Now,
trout are also causing soil erosion and runoff into streams. Obviously, they come out at night and they eat the grass. And it causes erosion.
Yeah, that's right. But the thing is that research has been done on this, and there are clean rivers with trout in them. You know what's not around those rivers that are clean which have trout in them? Farms. Farms are not around those clean water rivers.
Maybe those trout don't shit as much.
So
they're on a high fiber diet.
Well, so the thing is that the effect it definitely does exist. It definitely does exist, but the risk you have when lay people read scientific articles is that they completely misunderstand the significance.
Exactly.
And so these dickheads will have read, oh, trout actually do have some effect on this, but it's massively and grotesquely outweighed. And I actually, the reason I know about this is because I read an article from the Science Media Center earlier, which had a whole lot of experts, including the experts who have done this exact research. And they say, yes, there isn't, I'm going to paraphrase here, which is something the Science Media Center probably would hate me to do. They say, yes, there is an effect, but the effect from farming so dramatically outweighs it that it's pretty much negligible.
It's the whole bloody immunization. What's the stupid non-linked immunization? Autism link all over again.
Mercury.
So someone hears it once and they tell their friends that, oh, it's not cows, it's trout, because they, you know, they feel they've got a father who's a cow farmer or something like that, a dairy farmer, and it spreads like wildfire.
Yeah, and it's bullshit.
And then it becomes a standard response.
Yeah.
Oh crap.
Spreads like an algal bloom.
Stop being stupid.
You missed that.
That was good, Dylan. Well done. So I actually am finding Google Hangout to be not very good for the show. I find that there's been much more overtalk. Because I have a feeling that maybe you guys can't hear it when I am... I mean, for instance, when I was singing, you guys kept talking. I've got a feeling you couldn't hear that I was still singing.
No, we could hear you singing.
We were just ignoring
you. We were just deliberately talking over you. What do you say to that?
I'm going to get a soundboard up. That's what I say to that.
Maybe we were talking first and then you started singing. Did you think of that?
Yeah. It's all about you, Morgan, isn't it?
You
and your singing. You know the listeners hate it.
Don't care.
They've actually reported to me in direct messages off channel that they really wish you wouldn't sing as much.
That's not true.
Really, because I have a survey that says the listeners love it.
Anyway, let's do this.
Urban Dictionary, word of the week.
Everyone thought I was going to let it loop again, right? Am I right? Urban Dictionary, Urban Dictionary. Ben, because you haven't been here for a while, word of the week. We're going to address it to you, I guess. Your word.
Guest of the show.
Yep, your word. It has previously been a word of the day on Urban Dictionary, and your word is, have you played this game, Ben? Have you ever listened to the show? Because I know that you do easily forget that you do the podcast at all. So I'm just, you know, maybe you don't remember how the game goes. Do you want me to explain the rules?
No, it's okay. I'll have a go.
All right. Your word.
Play along.
Your word, Benedict, is Netflix.
Netflix.
Yeah.
Is that with an X or a CKS?
X.
So I'm guessing it's related to Netflix, which is the popular online movie subscription service.
Mm-hmm.
Or, do you have any ideas, Dylan? What I think?
I think it's an online subscription service where they deliver tasty snacks to you to use while watching movies. Things like nuts and popcorn.
But I'm going to go, it's horribly obvious, but it's basically the porn version of Netflix.
You guys are so good. You're both so good. You're so good. But you're both wrong. The correct definition, well, maybe I should just say the definition that I'm looking at. The definition I'm looking at, the one that was the Urban Dictionary word of the day on January 10, 2010, the one that has 2,100 upvotes and 16,000 downvotes, is Netflix, a movie rentals by mail service for squirrels.
Great. Terrible. Squirrels don't watch movies, you fuckwit.
How do they get the DVD in the slot?
They don't have opposable thumbs. They couldn't operate the remote.
Squirrel 1, have you rented Over the Hedge yet? Squirrel 2, no, but I'll get it off Netflix and watch it on Nut Inside. Squirrel 1, but there's portable Nut. You can watch Nut outside.
Pathetic.
Shut up. You shut up. If I had a soundboard, I would make Mocking's music play now.
Like, do you have a sting for our auntie section?
We should make one. Auntie, your auntie wants you to watch a VHS that she sent down from the new tell them to. I lost my words there. I went all. I had a stroke briefly. Auntie, the stuff she wants you to watch, she has sent you VHS from the Northern Hemisphere, but location indeterminate. She lives somewhere in a space pretty much in the middle of the North Atlantic, directly between the UK and the US.
And she has cable and Sky and everything. It's great.
She BBC. Must pay a lot for all her pay-per-view as well. I mean, how many people's aunties watch UFC?
It's also weird how much porn your auntie watches.
My auntie watches no porn. Take that back.
No, my auntie sends me no porn.
No, my auntie's never sent me porn.
What are you talking about, Dylan?
I don't know. Sorry. I'm
you must be talking about your auntie, mate. My auntie's not into that sort of thing.
I have to say, though, Morgan, I'm actually concerned about my auntie.
Oh,
I'm
no.
really worried. You know, she'd send me VHS tapes, and it was all really good. And I'd ask her to record, like, you know, house and you know stuff I wanted to watch, and she'd send them down, and I'd watch them. And it was great, but I think she's shacked up with someone dodgy. I guess you could call him maybe my step uncle.
Yeah.
Is
oh
that
no.
What you call him?
Oh no.
And,
yeah.
I think she's on. She's doing drugs.
Yeah.
Like something like speed.
Yeah.
Because she's just gone batshit insane. Yeah. And she's sent me this little black square thing with an Apple logo on top.
Yeah.
And I plug it in, and it's just all of the stuff that she's ever recorded is just all there. I don't even have to wait for the VHS tapes.
So you don't have to rewind so much anymore. I'm so tired of rewinding.
Yeah. I don't have to, you know, there's not a, I don't know, I'm trying to find the right analogy. There's no wait time.
Apple.co.nz.
There's no postage.
Apple.co.nz store. Mm. Let's see. So tell me what you're talking about. You're talking
Apple
about
TV
an
two.
Apple TV 2.
The little black Apple TV 2 is now fully hackable. I tried about 3-4 months ago, and there were jailbreaks, but you had to use them on a Mac, and I didn't have a Mac, and it was annoying me.
So Apple TV, film rentals, YouTube streaming, iTunes music, and photos from your computer. AirPlay yes. streaming from your iOS devices, 802.11n Wi-Fi, Apple remote, ships within 24 hours, free shipping, $170 New Zealand dollars.
Yes.
That
wonderful
sounds pretty
device.
Good.
Basically, an HDMI plug and a power plug, and you're away, and it connects to your wireless network and everything.
Does it come with cables?
I think you need an HDMI cable.
Their HDMI cables are $36.
Cablesdirect.co.nz.
Yeah.
We should get you an $8 or $10 HDMI cable.
I got something a bit like that.
Yeah?
Mine's called an A-Pacer AL460.
Mm-hmm.
And mine cost $90.
Yes, but does yours run Xbox Media Center with an add-on called Ice Films?
No, I wish it did because I had Xbox Media Center on my original Xbox.
Me too, and I haven't
love.
Had...
love.
Ever since then, I haven't had anything anywhere near as good. Xbox Media Center, fuck's sake. You download... Sorry, your auntie sends you a VHS that's compressed. And compressed, and I think it's called RAW format.
Yeah.
Traditionally, you'd have to rewind that VHS to make it viewable. Xbox Media Center just starts playing it. And the other day, Ali, my wife, was watching a video that my auntie had sent, and it stopped at about 45 minutes. And I was trying to work out why. And I went to extract that video, and it was corrupted. But Xbox Media Center just said, "No, fuck it, I'm just going to play this thing. I don't care if it's corrupted or not. I'll play as much as I can."
Yeah, XBMC is definitely the best media player I've ever used.
It's incredible. Absolutely incredible. ISOs, MKVs, you know, everything my auntie sends me. Just eats them alive.
Wait a second. When you say your auntie sends you something, is this a euphemism? Are you not actually talking about your auntie? Is this perhaps...
Dylan?
Is this perhaps...
Dylan? Dylan?
Else?
Dylan?
Yeah?
Shut
yeah.
the fuck up.
Because my auntie sends me tapes.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, yeah. I guess the Xbox Media Center is like having a Beta and a VHS and a DVD player and a...
Blu-ray.
Blu-ray. And it's just all in one thing.
Mini-disc.
And it runs on Apple TV too.
I would actually consider an Apple TV 2 for that reason. I hate Apple products generally.
Isn't this is the funniest thing.
I'm not a big fan.
I'm considering buying a second one for a bedroom because it's so good, and it's all because of the hackers.
You get Netflix on that one?
I don't know. The squirrels keep complaining. Morgan, what are you doing? Are you buying an Apple TV too?
Done. Yeah, $147.83 plus GST. Free shipping. This episode of Discourse was not brought to you by Apple because fuck those guys, you can't trust them. But we'll see how this Apple TV thing goes, eh?
The good thing with the FireCore ATV Flash version is that there is an option in there to turn off Apple updates, so it won't automatically update and blow away your jailbreak.
All right, so now I'm going to cablesdirect.co.nz. What kind of cable do I want?
HDMI to HDMI, I presume, if you've got a spare port on your...
What is it, mail?
Yep.
Yeah, it is. Try and get one with all gold on it. Pay as much as you possibly can because that makes a big difference, especially for really short connections.
There's one here that's $2,500. Yeah. Should I get that one?
Yeah. Can you spend more than that?
Well, this one's 10 centimetres.
Does it have inline amplifiers and does it use specifically blue?
It's oxygen free.
Blue insulation, because apparently the blue insulator is better than a red insulator. The plastic is more... it's a better waveguide.
Yeah, I can see that being the case.
You know what? There's they actually don't have their cheap cables.
Have they done away with them?
They've got $11.76, but there's no stock, so you can't buy them. That's for a 1 meter one. Am I gonna come to regret not having bought the thing from Apple?
Do you actually not have an HDMI cable?
Oh, probably, but what we currently do when we listen to the podcast or if we watch YouTube on the TV or whatever legal purposes we put it to, is we plug a laptop into the TV.
Right.
And that uses an HDMI cable, but it's also the cable that's used for my girlfriend's monitor when she uses the laptop with her monitor. Different laptop, same cable.
I found a couple of cheap HDMI cables at the $1-$3 store kind of places. I got one.
Oh, Morgan, go to the version 1.4 cables. That's what you want. Apparently, there's a new version of HDMI.
So, do I want a $16 Dynamics 1 meter high speed HDMI cable with Ethernet? What Ethernet support? What?
It sounds like it.
HDMI 1.4 adds Ethernet support over HDMI.
Isn't that crazy?
You can also do HDMI of Cat 6, I believe.
What is this thing? This is ludicrous.
Is 1 meter enough for you, though? Because 1 meter is pretty short.
Shut up. It's normal size.
But cables direct. It'll arrive probably tomorrow afternoon if you order it now. They're fantastic.
All right. Well, I'm going to add this 2 meter one, and I'm going to blame you if it's too much cable and makes a big mess of our beautiful living room.
That seems fair.
I bet this turns out to have the wrong goddamn plug on one end. What do you mean log in to continue? I don't want to log in to buy a cable. I just want to buy a cable.
It's so fraught. Buying on the internet, it is fraught, isn't it? Because you look at it and you think, is it the right one? Really? You
know what pisses me off is Amazon. You know, they ship lots of stuff internationally, but at the same time, they don't ship lots of stuff internationally.
Anything electronic,
No, that's not true. You can get some electronic things, but not all of them. And the weird thing, we bought a pushchair, like a stroller from Amazon, which was insanely cheap and $18 shipping to New Zealand.
For a fucking pushchair?
For a fucking pushchair, and it arrived in 6 days. But we can't get the rain cover for it. They don't ship that to New Zealand.
And if they did, it'd be $180 shipping.
Sure, probably.
I keep meaning to come back to Amazon because, you know, the Amazon is just about to buy the Book Depository.
Which upsets me.
I'm really very afraid. Me.
But I don't buy books, so it doesn't really matter.
The thing is, I do buy books, but I bought my girlfriend a Kindle a little while ago, a couple of months ago, and she doesn't use it that much because I don't know, she just goes to sleep when she goes to bed. But I like to read quite a lot. But books are incredibly frustrating. When I moved house, I've still got boxes full of fucking books that there's no reason for me to have them, you know, as possessions. Why keep books around? Is it some kind of trophy? Is it like shooting a stag? No, it's just a book. It's just words. It's just bits. You know, it's information that can be very readily stored in a very small space if you get rid of the goddamn paper. So I'm not sure if I don't know. I've ordered a great deal of stuff from Book Depository before, but I'm thinking of just getting a Kindle of my own. What I've been hoping for is a new touchscreen one.
Yeah.
People have been raving about the Nook. Nook is actually quite good.
But I want to be able to put Kindle books on it. And the Nook is from Barnes & Noble, so I don't think it can take Nook. It can take Kindle books from Amazon.
I'm sure someone will figure that out. I used someone's Kindle the other day, and the fact that you can't touch the screen freaks me out. In fact, every time I use any sort of smart device and I can't touch the screen, it freaks me out now.
Yeah, I'm annoyed by it. I'm also annoyed by the keyboard, the pointless keyboard.
Yes.
That only exists because it's not touchscreen.
No, you can make notes in it though. I remember there was a big thing. Someone like a textbook got withdrawn from Amazon, and a whole bunch of people had made notes.
Yeah.
In the textbook, and when the textbook got withdrawn,
1984 got withdrawn from Amazon, which was amazingly ironic.
Yeah, well, that's right.
I think both of these things happened.
A whole lot of people had made notes in it for you know schoolwork purposes, and all their notes went with it.
Yes. So are we going to edit all the stuff out of Morgan doing online shopping live and direct?
Right now, Morgan, click up on the left and where it says login, right, you put your email address and your password.
Do you have a little padlock? Because don't go any further if you don't have a little padlock.
Yeah.
I'm very annoyed about having to register for this. I just want to give them a credit card number and have them send me the friggin' cables. I don't want to start a relationship with these guys.
Just go into a shop then.
That's actually why I quite like people who use Google Checkout and PayPal. Or no, actually just PayPal really. Because I don't need to start an account. I can just give you a PayPal thing and you send me the shit. PayPal gives you my address and you send it to me.
I just had a horrible thought.
Yeah.
Deal Extreme. Probably have like $1 cables.
Oh, fuck. No,
but it might take forever to get here.
HDMI cables, but it'll take 6 weeks to get here and it'll somehow be broken when it arrives.
Wait, the shipping from these assholes is $8. I might as well have just about got it from Apple. This site is bullshit. Fuck Cables Direct. Fuck them. But they only told me that after I created the fucking account that I didn't want to create.
They've got your email address now.
Fuck them. I've got their address as well.
Oh, God.
Motherfuckers.
What are you going to do?
I'm going to send them an email.
What are you going to do?
I'm sending them an email. I'm clicking on the contact page. Fuck you in the hairy... well fucked, never loved asshole, you HDMI cable dealing motherfuckers. What are you? Oh, apparently my IP address is logged, but it's not going to stop me. Done.
NoelLeming.co.nz.
Yeah.
$70.
That's not very good.
No.
Price spy.
Oh, God.
This is the exact same one that I just added on that fuckhole site. From K-Tech is $11 instead of $19. You shop at idiot places. You shop like an asshole, Ben.
They've changed.
No wonder your USB headset is so noisy. You got it at some pissy fucking site. You paid three times as much as you should have. I thought you were meant to be the gadget guy. You're supposed to be some smart tech guru, whatever. But it turns out that is all smoke and mirrors. And all you are is bullshit.
Oh, gold.
Including shipping, it's $11 less to get it from K-Tech than to get it from your piece of shit Cables Direct website. Have you got some commercial relationship with Cables Direct?
This is an entire suggestion was just simply to upset you.
You have to disclose it. You know, it's part of your obligations under the discourse contract. You have to disclose your relationships.
Commercial relationships. I don't. I've had good experience. I've bought like a $6 HDMI cable off them before, and it arrived the next day, and it was lovely.
You're such a liar.
So now I want an Apple TV. Is it hard to put the XBMC on it?
It's remarkably easy. You can if you want to.
You need a scanning, tunneling electron microscope.
Yeah. No, season pass is dead simple. You just plug it in and do it. Then you can, if you want, pay firecore.com $20 for their firmware update. Comes with a couple of nice things like an easy to use SMB browser and that sort of stuff. But and it also installs XBMC for you. But yeah,
now
you can do
I'm
it. You can do it manually.
Sure
you can SSH.
XBMC open source?
I think so. Once you've jailbroken the device.
Aren't you afraid that you'll have to turn over your entire computer and everything in your house to Richard Stallman?
I hadn't thought of that, but yeah, you're probably right. Maybe I should just do it preemptively.
Yeah, I think you probably should.
Because I've plugged it into my TV, right? So that then makes my TV...
Your TV's now open source. I'm going to come into your house and watch TV.
It's now public property.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to check into your house and watch your TV.
I hadn't thought of that. It's a very good point. And actually, to be honest, the Apple TV is plugged into my power supply as well. So just bring an extension cord while you're here and you're away.
Great. I'll see you soon.
Do we have any toots?
I must be watching at about 2 a.m. Is that okay? Well, it doesn't matter.
Do we have any toots, Morgan?
Love is a burning thing, and it makes a fiery ring. Bound by wild desire, I fell into a ring of fire.
There was something about bridges.
I've actually got a question for you, Ben. How do you spell fiery? Not like that, asshole. You tweeted to like 15,000 people or however many people follow you. F-I-R-E-R-Y.
I copy and pasted from a lyrics website.
Ah, there's your mistake. There's your mistake.
There you go. We have some bridge correspondence, I understand. Is it supporting Liz Shaw or not supporting Liz Shaw?
I don't know what you're talking about. So according to Paul Brislin, Tuan CEO, this is none of these are about discourse. this is a quote from Paul Brislin, former Vodafone dickhead and now Tuan's good guy. Piracy is not an indication of our innate criminality, but a symptom of unrealized consumer demand.
That is so true. Just look at what I've been talking about for the last half fucking hour.
Yeah. I so love Paul Brislin since he's become the Tuans guy. I used to... Ernie Newman was a big wet blanket and kind of annoying, but Paul knows his shit and talks well.
Yeah.
And the funny thing is he knows deeply what Vodafone's shit is as well, and he's doing so well at not just calling them on bullshit, but placing it in ways that they're forced to, you know, to sort of acquiesce or agree.
Yeah,
I remember having discussions with him, you know, back and forth. You're probably involved as well, Ben, about roaming. You know, when he was at Vodafone NZ, and him sort of saying, "Oh no, look, it's reasonable." And now, his yes. tune is absolutely reversed. It's so delightful.
It's right because they lowered it from $10 to $10,000 to $5,000 a gigabyte to roam. And I said, "Wow, it's so great! It's only $5,000 a gigabyte." And he really ripped into me for complaining that they'd half the price.
Yeah.
It was great. And I think that was probably about the time he'd already actually taken up the new job. So it was a good on message right until the very end. Bridge correspondence.
So
right?
this is from Walter Rumsby, and he sent us the world's longest sea bridge, which is in China. It goes between the bustling port city of Qingdao, southeast of Beijing, to the industrial district of Huangdao. And it opened on June the 30th, very recently. And it is 42 kilometres long.
So this is related to Liz Shaw. Was it Liz Shaw's idea to have a bridge across the Tasman?
No. Yeah. No, it's not fair to say that it was her idea.
Okay.
Someone else asked her if she agreed with their idea to have a bridge to Australia.
Right. Okay.
But she then, you know, grabbed it with both hands and went for it. This was just under $2 billion New Zealand dollars. Apparently, it took 4 years to build. It's 42 kilometers long. It's called the Jiao Jiao.
Australia?
I'm sorry.
About 2,000 kilometers.
It's about 2,000.
So, how many 42s in 2,000?
Well, I can easily. It's 95 billion. It's 95 billion according to my quick calculation. But I've previously calculated it based on a Spanish bridge, the name of which I can't remember now. I calculated it as being approximately 420 billion. But the trouble is that none of these bridges go over water as deep as the Tasman, which averages something like 2.5 kilometres. It goes as deep as about 3.5 kilometres.
Do you know what? I bet at 3.5 kilometres, there's amazing amounts of... rare earth materials in
that's
the
right.
sea floor.
We could probably fund the construction of this bridge by decimating the Tasman.
Synergies is what we call that in business. And
all we need is a big long tube. Basically, just vacuum it up off the floor,
and then just leave the tube laying in place and drive through it.
Right.
For 20 hours.
Why has no one ever thought of this?
Because it's brilliant. It's so simple. It's got to work.
And then you put your murder hotel in the middle, like you said, Morgan.
Exactly, and your brothels either side of it. So according to Darren Hall, at Naked Geek on Twitter, things to do when alone, number 29. Listen to discourse. There's no fucking way the family will let you listen to this sick shit if they are home. So that's a thing to do when alone.
This is so true.
Yeah. What else have we got? Chris underscore B. NZ, my two cents, I prefer the longer discourse shows, much more relaxed. It's all a bit rushed when you try and keep it short.
He'll love this show then. Just don't edit it, Morgan. Just leave in the online shopping, half hour of online shopping.
Will do. We've got Gavin Barron on Twitter. Totally not pumped for today. But once I get to work, there will be a new episode from Discourse. And his hashtag is Silver Lining. We brighten someone's day, Ben. And by we, I mean not you, because you weren't there, because you forgot there was a podcast to make.
Defending myself, I did not forget. I had a deadline, and I was busy.
And I did that because I just talked about Final Cut Pro X, and no one gives a shit.
God damn, do they ever not give a shit?
Much more than the film festival bullshit.
Oh. All right, so let's talk a little bit. So you spoke about your horrible copyright infringement. I would just like to talk about what my auntie's been sending me, which is really, it's completely unrelated, and I don't like that you co-opted it. I would say that there's a new season of Top Gear has started.
Oh, yes.
And she sent me a couple of tapes of that.
Have you watched them? It's been a bit weak, I felt.
It's been the same as ever, which is variable.
Yeah,
I mean, not every episode can be a special episode. Not every episode can be an Africa or driving through the American South episode.
No, true. But I had some stormers last year, a couple of them, and I just sort of haven't. Maybe you're right. There's a couple of episodes to go.
I'll give them some later. Anyone who's interested in Top Gear will have already seen it. But what you might not have seen is Louis. Maybe you have. Maybe you haven't.
I haven't.
This is Louis C.K.'s TV series. It's just started its second season. And it's like fake.
Why do I know that name?
He's a comedian. He's quite a famous comedian. Oh,
right.
He's very, very good. And it's kind of like a fake fake biographical. So it's about a comedian called Louis. But it's not really about Louis C.K. But he's the guy, Louis. He's the lead actor. Different spelling of the name, though. You understand. And yeah, it can be a real bummer, and it can be funny, and it can be very, very dark. But there you go. That's Louis.
Quite like the television.
That's something my my auntie in the States sent me, apparently.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. I quite like the shows where people play fictionalized versions of themselves. The New Zealand one was the Jackie Brown Diaries, and then there's the
Another one.
Yeah,
and the Gary Shandling,
Seinfeld.
Yep, and to some extent, what was that one that used to be on? The comedian has a funny name, Titus. Titus. Anyway, there you go.
I don't know what that is, Titus, or I just have word association Andronicus.
Okay, great.
Heifer.
Really, Titus Heifer.
Heifer, yeah.
Okay. All right, ladies. I could suggest other shows, but my auntie will send us another tape for next week, and we can talk about it then.
My auntie sent me the second episode of Wilfred, which is interesting. I haven't seen the first one yet.
Oh, don't watch the second one without watching the first one.
My auntie's already sent me the first. She's just sending me the second now.
Right. Okay. Cool. So, just don't watch them out of order. That's all.
Well, obviously not. I'm not a retard. I know how television works.
Okay. you never know, though. You never know. Some people open their presents before Christmas morning, which I'm not a fan of. You don't get one at night. Don't get one. You've got to save them all. So we have got some corrections. All right, so we need new stings. We need a sting for Auntie, and we need a sting for corrections, because we're going to end a sting for Tootback, because we have a lot of corrections. It really is a regular segment. So this is the surgeon... butcher, barber thing.
I told you it was a barber. God damn it. I told you so many times it was a barber.
It's not necessarily a barber. There was the Fellowship of Surgeons. There was a surgeons group, and they joined the Fellowship of Barbers. So the surgeons existed before they joined the barbers group.
No, barbers. Surgeons were barbers originally. That's my understanding too.
Am I going to have to Wikipedia this?
And that's the origin of the red on the barber's pole.
You're the origin of the red on the barber's pole.
That doesn't make any sense.
Hey, we've got another guest already.
I forgot that we were even using the Hangout thing. For some reason, I thought we were back in Skype after it failed so badly earlier. So who's this? Corey, someone? Are you there, Corey? Corey Blundell, are you a friend of the show or are you just a random stranger who's wandered in off the filthy wastelands of Google Plus? Did he leave? He just left. Thanks for dropping by, dickhead.
Google Hangout is the new chat roulette.
Well,
so remarkably similar.
I
haven't seen any cocks.
And you could identify the person because it's all based on. I mean, it's a lot of trouble to go to.
I can remedy that for you, Dylan.
I was ready with my print screen.
I'm so disappointed you chickened out there. He started to stand up. I thought he's really going to do it. He's going to go through with it.
He's going to flop out his chode.
There are screen cap tools at the ready. I couldn't do it.
All right, so tell me the history that you've found for surgeons being called Mister. The connection between surgeons and barbers.
Barber surgeon was the most common medical practitioners of medieval Europe, generally charged with looking after soldiers during an hour after battle.
Yeah.
In this era, surgery was not generally conducted by physicians, but by barbers.
Yeah.
There you go.
I think it's not the whole story.
There you go. In our time, surgery and medicine are closely allied. In Renaissance and all that sort of stuff, surgery was considered more of a trade than a profession.
Yep.
Surgeons had more to do with barbers than with physicians.
Yep, I buy that. I buy that, but I'm not sure I buy this other part.
And nothing to do with butchers.
Yeah, no. So that's interesting. I'll have to remember where that came from. I think it came from...
It came from nowhere. It came from the depths of your cavernous brain.
That's completely not correct. It came from something my auntie sent me called Thorn. Did it come from Thorn? I think it came from Thorn Sleepyhead, which is a James Nesbitt series where he's a surgeon and he explains the origin of why he's called Mister and the other doctors are called Doctor. And he talks about...
This is fiction.
Well, the BBC made it.
James Nesbitt. So has he been in another surgery thing? Because I've been watching Munro, which is actually available legitimately now on Prime if you want to wait a week for every episode or get your auntie to send you some.
Yeah.
Called Munro, and it's very much modeled on House. He's a cranky neurosurgeon.
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm talking about. It was Munro.
I'm enjoying it.
I think it was Munro where it came up, the Mister thing. I bet in the last episode of the season, he'll talk about butchers.
So now you're saying your premonition about butchers came from the future?
It comes from my past. It's not a premonition, it's a memory, because my auntie sent me the tapes.
Is it only a 6-episode series?
Probably. It's English. Dicks.
Well, they have a proper hour at least. God damn. You know.
What the hell was that? I think it was whatever his name was, Blundell. Corey Blundell. I think his session was still there, even though it was quiet. Maybe it was some kind of trickery. Okay. So let's move on. Move on. That correction is still a half-assed correction. We've done too bad. It was really bad. Last thoughts. Backup day was a couple of days ago. Remember, back your shit up. Listeners, make a backup right now. God damn it. And if you haven't got somewhere to back it up, you don't need to do anything clever. Go to Price Spy, get an external hard drive, get a 2.5-inch if you don't have much data to back up. Get a 3.5-inch, I suggest a Samsung Story Station if you're going to get a big external, a big full-size external. 2 terabytes, it was about $160. And, you know, you can back up a whole lot of stuff onto that. You can back up all of your photos. If you've made home movies, you can back those up on it. You can back up all of your iTunes library and, you know, all of the stuff that, you know, whatever you've downloaded, you know, your collection of photos, whatever the hell. All the stuff you've got, all your Word docs, your thesis that you're working on. I suggest if you're working on a thesis.
I need to do that so badly.
Make a good backup. Make a really good backup. And then take that hard drive. Take that hard drive and take it to work. Put it in your desk. Take it to your mum's place. Put it somewhere there.
Those story stations are a sexy hard drive.
God damn, they're good. I've got two of them on my desk, and they are lovely. Lovely.
USB 3?
USB 3. USB 3.
Do you ever think of the impermanence of our society as it is now? Like, you know, I don't know if you've had this experience, but I've looked through, you know, boxes of my old grandparents' photographs and read letters that they wrote each other during the war and stuff.
Yeah.
None of that, none of what we've done of that sort will ever survive two generations. Even if we back up, you know, fairly religiously, none of that is going to, you know, there's no way that thousands of photos I've taken.
I have thought about that.
I've got a complete image of my father's laptop. Complete, yeah. Acronis, true backup image.
Mm.
Yeah, and how are you gonna unload that Acronis true backup image in 5 years?
I don't know.
Exactly.
Now you're depressing me. But I can't open it up whenever I feel like it and look through his folders, which is quite nice.
Isn't it? I mean, it just freaks me out how little of any of that stuff will ever survive.
Yeah, nothing will survive, brother. Nothing will survive. No one's anything survives. You go and ask an average teenager in the States who John Lennon is. You know, some of the most famous people in the world previously, and still pretty famous. And there are people, you know, people in Western English-speaking countries who have no fucking idea who they are.
Go and ask a teenager nothing about lasts. Rainbow Warrior. Go and ask a 20-year-old about the Rainbow Warrior.
Yep, I've got a piece of the Rainbow Warrior. I've got a bit of the porthole glass. I will not forget. That's funny. I was just thinking about that earlier today or yesterday after buying the All Blacks France tickets. I was just thinking, those fucking French bastards, they are fucking terrorists. They're fucking terrorists. And I'm not going to forgive them for it ever. I'm never going to forgive them for it because you can't behave like that.
It is shocking to imagine, isn't it? So insane to imagine literally state-sponsored terrorism.
Yep.
Astounding.
Absolutely astounding. And it just happened. It happened just there. If it happened now, I would hear it because I'm so close to the location. Well, I mean, I'm pretty far away, but I bet I'd still hear it.
So back up your shit or the French terrorists will come and get it.
For fuck's sake, make a backup. Make a safe backup because it's so horrible to lose. I mean, just imagine what happens if, I mean, everyone's got a digital camera. Everyone's probably got thousands of photos they've taken, I'm sure. Some of them they probably care about. Maybe not all of them, but some of them they care about. But you can't
go up to Flickr. Yeah. So you're not too worried about that.
Well, not everyone uses Flickr. I certainly don't put all the photos I take up on Flickr.
No.
But I do like to flick through them every now and then. I do like to go through things and be like, oh, yeah, that's right. I used to do things, not just sit in my, sit at home editing podcasts. I used to do stuff out in the world. Wow. How have I not got skin cancer? God, wasn't I thin when I used to do things?
I think the same thing on a daily basis, looking at photos.
I
used to ride a bike.
Lots of oh my God, I just went riding. I had an extended bike riding session on Sunday with my girlfriend, and nice. We went out for like 3 hours around the waterfront up Bastion Point. There was a kite festival, believe it or not, coincidence. Kite festival.
There was.
Went down to Mission Bay. It was great. God, it hurt my ass.
I was going to ask, how was your ass?
Very tender. I feel like I've...
You described it as something to me. In a message, you described it as... I can't remember what you said.
Thank you for ruining it. I was about to reuse my joke, but now I can't reuse my joke.
Why not? Tell me the joke.
Too late. Go on, Dylan. You've ruined it. You might as well finish me off.
Well, clearly, if I knew, I would have said it. I don't remember.
You motherfucker.
Double ruined it.
You motherfucker.
This is just the worst. This is a record worst episode for fucking up everything.
I blame Google Hangout. I think that there's just slightly different delay from Skype, and I think it is fucking shit up just in a very particular way.
So that's okay. That's the verdict episode. The verdict for the episode is Google Hangout. Not cool.
Google Hangout, very cool, not cool for podcasts.
And by extension, not cool for Google Plus is not cool, and Google is not cool, and... Yeah.
I really like...
Google's a utility. Google is a utility, and I don't want to rate and hang out with my friends at my water pumping station, or my electricity substation.
All right.
Okay.
What?
I guess I understand that, but I mean, what's Twitter?
Twitter's, you know, my water cooler.
Yeah.
I don't need to, you know, I don't use it as a utility on a daily basis to search for things I need to do my work on and that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Dear listeners.
We apologize.
Oh, yeah. So do we want to talk about Barcamp?
Well, Barcamp is next Saturday.
What? You know that,
Morgan?
Fuck me. Seriously? I haven't registered.
It's Saturday the 16th of July.
Holy shit.
It's Saturday week. Not quite next, you know, whatever.
Not this Saturday. Oh. God damn it. You fucking terrified me. Now, the reason I'm worried is because we've been told that we're doing a panel. Or we're doing a live show. We're doing something, right?
Yes.
Are we still doing that?
What does it say in the show notes, Morgan? It says, "What the hell is happening with Barcamp?" is what it says in the show notes.
So, what the hell is happening with Barcamp?
Yeah, that's what it says in the show notes.
What the hell?
No, we will be at Barcamp, both of us. Yeah. I'm hoping.
I haven't registered. Maybe I'm not going to be there. I just want a t-shirt. Is it wrong that I only want the t-shirt?
You should register because it's free. And at Barcamp, there are some sessions. And there are, there's some gaps there that we could probably fill in with a session for maybe a session about how to do a podcast or that's boring.
Yeah, I don't want to do that. Let's just do a show.
Okay.
Come up with some games to play with the audience.
How is that helpful for Barcampers?
I don't care.
Cool.
We'll try and do something that keeps them awake for one more session. Because I tell you what, at last bar camp, I had a hard time staying awake. I'm so easily bored. So come along, be easily bored along with me. Watch me as my eyes start to drift, my lids start to lower, heavier and heavier. Listeners, you're getting sleepy. Listeners, you're feeling so sleepy right now.
It's so inviting.
Listen to my voice.
Really, really inviting.
Listeners, listen to my voice. All right, we've got him. We've got him. Now, what do you want to make him do, Ben?
No idea. Isn't the chicken the one? Okay. Anyway, Barcamp is Saturday the 16th. I'm registered, so I'll be there. It is actually free to register. So there's a couple of spaces left, I believe. Yeah. So Morgan?
Can I bring my kids?
Dylan?
No.
In a moment, I'm going to wake you up. When you wake up, you'll feel like you need to fart. You'll feel like you need to fart more than you've ever needed to fart before in your life. But for some reason, you won't be able to fart. You'll try very hard. You'll squeeze as much as you can, eventually pooing in your trousers. 3, 2, 1.
Really? Sorry, just pull this plug down. Oh.
Not great radio.
Oh, I gotta go. I need to go.
See you, Dawn. Thanks. Thanks for the show.
We ended on a high note, at least.
It's a new low. Oh, God.
So Barcamp is at bca.geek.nz. T-shirt gender. I didn't know that they had them. As far as I knew, they all had the same four holes. Awesomest. That's my job. Anything else? Vegetarian. That's what I'm telling them. All right, I'm registered. I registered with my organization being Discourse.
Excellent.
Confirmed booking.
Okay. You're allowed to eat meat.
But I'd still rather that there be vegetarian stuff provided. I'd still prefer that. I only really like it if I know it's good, and you never know about.
Oh, like Hello's cocktails is just.
Yeah, I really love eating forehead from unknown animal cut. I mean, is it from a cow? How much chicken? Is there a certain amount of allowable dog? Like it can't be over 5% dog.
But there can be some dog.
I've got to go.
What's the allowable amount of insect parts? Because there will be an allowable amount of insect parts. It'll be like 50 insect parts per package.
It's actually related Tour de France story to this whole thing. I told you about the guy doing the, he's a vegan doing the tour.
Yeah.
I told you about that.
Yeah.
But he's eating salmon.
He's not a vegan then.
No, he's not. So someone actually commented that he's not in the line for the hemp jersey anymore.
Is there a hemp jersey?
No.
Is it also yellow, but not really a very convincing yellow? Like, it's not very yellow.
I was trying to make a joke about hippies and veganism.
So the thing is that he actually is a vegan. He actually is a vegan, but
recently become a vegan.
But he eats a vegan diet apart from two meals a week when he has some fish. So he is not really a vegan, but I think he can make the claim. I think he can say, I'm a vegan, but I also eat fish twice a week.
And I eat fish twice a week when I'm doing the Tour de France, because otherwise I'd die.
And then that makes it very clear what he is. He doesn't eat any dairy ever.
Hmm.
He never eats honey or beef. He doesn't have sausages or burgers. He doesn't have pizza with pepperoni on it. He doesn't eat bacon. It makes it very, very clear what he is. Anyway, what I was hoping for was that I would be talking about animal parts, allowable bits, and that everyone else would just go away, and then we would just gradually fade down the show at the end. But instead, I'm just going to say thank you for listening once again, and tell your friends on Twitter, sorry it was so long, but also I don't care, because I've had a good time. I've had a really good time.
I love you all, and I apologize in equal measure.
I'm going to go to the toilet.
Oh God, it's just
I think it's number twos.
You're listening to the weekly show on with course.
Sorry, we're using that one.